right. Welcome to another episode of Dad Can We Talk. I'm your host, Anthony Ray. And this is episode 50. Man, this is a milestone for me, y'all. Man, I started this last year, back in February, and now we're here at episode 50, man. Halfway to 100. So, man, I gotta say, man, it feels good to know that I've continued to keep this thing going. I've been continuing to keep it pushing, man. There's many times I felt like giving up. So many trials that's happened in the last year, man. But like I say, man, we're here at episode 50. I've sat down and talked with so many different men, you know, from I've had single dads on here. I've had men on here that's been married for 20 and 15 years. I've had guys that are in long distance relationships with their children. All types of dads, man. I just want to give a shout out to all the great dads that's blessed the show, man. That's been able to come on here and share their stories. Like I always say, man, we're all about changing the narrative surrounding fatherhood, especially black fatherhood, man. You know, that's we've been put down for too long, man. You know, there's been too many narratives put out there about, you know, what black dads aren't and what we don't do. But this show has been about what we do, you know. And I believe that we do it well, you know, as black dads, man. So, yeah, like I say, man, I want to give a shout out to all my brothers out there, man. Y'all keep doing what you're doing. Stay encouraged, you know, and don't let nobody tell you, you know, that you ain't doing a good job when you know every single day you out here trying to just be your best. You know, this show ain't nothing about perfect dads. Ain't none of us a perfect dad. Ain't none of us got it all together. But we all every day continuing to keep it pushing, man. And I'm just proud to know all the dads that I do know that's out here being involved in their children's lives, man, and changing their families day by day, man. So shout out to all y'all, man. I want to give another shout out to 6 o'clock Studios, where we are posted up right now, man. My brother T. Whitey, man, appreciate you, bro, for allowing me to have this space to do what I do, man. So I appreciate you, big dog. And then I want to give another shout out to the Black Podcast Collective. Go and find, follow the Black Podcast Collective on Facebook. Go and find the page. So many great podcast hosts there. Another shout out to my brother Sean Blunt, man. Go and check out his podcast, Being Blunt. Man, great podcast, man. He just released an episode, I think, today. So yeah, go and check out his podcast wherever you get podcasts at Being Blunt Podcast, man. So yeah, without further ado, man, I'm sitting here with the man right here, man, that I met a few years ago, man. And you know, he's definitely been a blessing, man. It's been good knowing him for the last few years, man. And I couldn't miss the opportunity to sit down with him and have him bless this podcast, man. Like I say, I've only known him for a few years now, but in our interactions and our conversations, man, I would say that I believe he is a very genuine brother, man. Just from the conversations that we've had, you know, I think he has a story, you know, that will bless many people. So many things that I believe that he has in store that y'all need to know about, man. You know, y'all know I'm all about, you know, good fathers, man. So I think I want him to share his story with y'all, man, you know, because like I say, I think he has a lot that he has to offer to the community, you know, wisdom. So without further ado, man, y'all welcome to the show, Jose Dell.
Hey, man, I appreciate you, man.
Yeah.
I appreciate your accommodations there, man. If you ever get to know who I am, you know that I'm a God-fearing man first and foremost. I'm never claiming to be perfect.
Straight up.
As my pastor would say, I always press against the mark of the high calling of God. You know, you always got to press against the press, you know. Being a black male in America, comes with a lot of oppression and discouragement. But then, you know, like you say, dad, can we talk?
Yeah.
You know, you got to have a relationship with your father
straight up
in heaven. Right. And then if you talk to him, that's right. Now you can get some direction on where you want to go in life.
That's real.
Yes, sir.
That's real, man. Yes, hey, sir. I'm telling you, finna bless y'all now. Y'all pay attention. Y'all know I always say, man, free game. Today it's all free game. You know, this is free 99. You know, you getting this wisdom for the free, man. But the way I like to start the podcast off all the time, man, my first question, I want to take it back, man. I want you to talk about what your relationship with your dad was like.
My dad, he and I, we had a non-existent relationship, you know. And as a child, God raised me. He directed my path.
Okay.
I remember being in Sunday school with Miss Mary McLeod, and she's remarried now, but she was my Sunday school teacher, and she introduced John 3:16 to me.
Okay.
Yeah, she was like, keep reading that. And then it'll mean something to you. As the more you get closer to God, the more God gonna mean to you, mm-hmm. And believe it or not, the more you mean to him as well. So, first and foremost, I'm always promote relationship with the Father. Likewise, with my personal dad, I had to, having that relationship with God, I had to also reach out to my dad. It wasn't because he came to my football games or basketball games or track meets, which he did not. But I can't carry that weight around. I can't be bitter, In his absence, it taught me how to be a father, believe it or not. Yeah, because as a child, going through school and stuff, and in his absence, I said, man, when I get kids, I'm going to be a better father than my dad was to me.
Straight up.
And that was encouragement just by, the reciprocator of his absence, And God, like I say, God always had someone there for me, man. Mary McLeod, Elder Jacob D. James, Elder Perry, who's the pastor right now at the Body of Christ, the Church of God in Christ in Lake Butler. And a lot of host of brothers, his brothers, Elder Jones, Elder Merricks. Minister Merricks, Dozy Perry, a lot of guys, Coach Jenkins, who was one of our deacons, that really poured into me, And I give God all the glory for all that I have and all that I don't have.
That's real. But even listening to that, I see that even though you didn't necessarily have that relationship with your physical dad, your birth dad, but God put other men in place to step in.
Yes, sir.
I think that's so important, especially for young men coming up, we might not have our dads, our dad might not be there, but it's so important, man. And this is a point that I really want to point out for other men out there. There are a lot of fatherless children out there, but just because their dad isn't there, man, us men in the community, we have to step in for other young men who might not have that. And be not fathers just to our children, but to other young men in our community that don't have that.
That's right.
I can see that was something that was important for you. All these men you just named could have touched you in so many different ways.
Exactly.
And that's just an important thing for other men to be able to step in, man.
That is exactly what happened. And you asked me about my birth father, what kind of relationship I had with him. I told you it was non-existent. But after I became an adult, I made sure that the most essential thing in all that is I didn't let it become a bitterness in my heart,
That's real.
And I didn't resent my kids. I welcomed my kids. My kids was innocent when they came in and into this world. And I chose to be a father. Mm-hmm. I chose to reach out to, and honestly, truly, I just wanted one woman to have 10 of my kids to marry, that's why you see me when I come to your house. I look at your family. I look at that nucleus, a beautiful husband, a beautiful wife, beautiful kids, a beautiful family,
Straight
a
up.
Wholesome Cosby family in real life. which is something that's all they ever wanted. So when I look at you, my brother, I look at you with admiration. You know what I'm saying? And I also want to encourage you and keep it on, keep it on, because I know it ain't easy doing what you do. You know what that's I'm real. Saying? Now, I had my kids out of wedlock. I've been married twice. Never had not one child with one wife, which, you know, I would have welcomed that. I would have desired that. But what you want for your life ain't essentially what God has planned for you in your life, you know? In my mind, I was like, man, I want to be a pastor. I would like to be a marriage counselor. But biblically, those things don't line up with the word. You heard me?
Yeah.
But guess what, though? I got the experience. You know? I know what not to do in a broken marriage because I had two broken marriages, you know? And both times, I think the only reason why you should get married is because you love that person and that you want to live the rest of your life with that person. You know? And then whatever comes, let it come. But, as a unity, as a family, as a husband and wife, you sit down and you break bread on that. You know, you once your communication begin to break down, your marriage begin to break down. You're going separate ways then. You're not working towards one goal, because the word says is that what? When a man leaves his mother and father and is joined to his wife, they're not two anymore. They are one.
Straight up.
They are one in the spirit.
That's real.
In all actuality, you are actually one in the flesh, because now you coming together to have kids. You coming together as one to have a family, to have a home, and to raise them together. You have to have that communication where you are one. When you talking to you, you should be talking to your wife. When you talking to your moms, you talking to dad. You see what I'm saying? Because kids, they're intelligent. Mm-hmm. Oh, dad won't tell me, but mama tell me. Yeah. You know, they play that. They play them cards, man. Sure no will. They will do that. And mom have no idea that, hey, they asked dad, and dad have no idea they asked mom. But guess what the other says? Go ask your mother. Go ask your dad. And then, bam, man, shoot, I can't get away with that. You know? But that's how it works, you know?
That's real.
Yes,
that's real, man. Man. It's so funny that what you're talking about with marriage. There's this guy that I listen to named Sho Baraka, and he says in one song, I know I always forget the lyrics, but he says something to this point. He said something like, "A divorced man and woman taught me how to love my wife."
Amen.
And then he said something like, "It took for a blind man to sit me down and teach me all about imagery." He says, a homeless man sat me down and taught me about dignity.
Wow.
He said something, and everything he was saying in the verse was so powerful. I'm like, dang, you know, like a blind man had to sit me down and teach me about imagery.
How to see,
You know, it took a divorced man and a woman to teach me how to love my wife.
How to come together.
It took like all of these, and he was just naming all of these different things. And I was like, dang, you know, I think at times, you know, we overlook the people in society that we really should be going to, you know. Just because a man is divorced or a woman is divorced, that don't mean they can't teach you. They might be able to teach you a lot more about marriage than...
I got one for you. Yeah, I think it's the Williams brothers. I'm just a nobody. I'm just a nobody. Because, life experiences really teach you. You know, you can go to school, you can learn from a book, but you don't really experience it.
That's real.
So you really cannot convey that to nobody. You can just tell them what you've been taught. But once you have been through experience and you have done it, you've suffered, then you could break it off a little bit more proper. You know, and then if you got that fallow ground, or you might have, that fertile ground, you might have to break up that fallow ground so that it can become fertile, so you can plant some soil in there. And the fallow ground is when you go through those hard times, when you go through your failures or your divorces, you start up a business and you fail, but then you will learn something. That fallow ground becomes fertile now, because the difference between a winner and a loser is just that one time when he won, when he didn't give up. That's the only difference between a winner and a loser.
Straight up.
So the attitude is everything. Attitude determines your altitude.
All right.
Yes, sir. You can't give up.
Free game.
Yes, sir. You can't give up. You got to press against the press.
That's real. Yes, sir. That's real, man. What would be the one thing, you know, if you just had to name one thing, you know, I know there's a multitude of things, but if you had to say, you know, one of the most important lessons that you learned, you know, from previous marriages, and, you know, we believe, you know, you're going to be married again, you know. If y'all don't know, man, this right here is my mom's fiance right here, man. You know, so that's who I'm sitting down, I'm talking with today. So, you know, one day I do believe, you know, that you will be my father-in-law.
Yeah.
But from your two previous marriages, what would you say is that one thing that you learned, that most important thing that you learned about yourself, you know, where you messed up at, and you just say, you know what, I'm going to, the next time I know how to handle this situation right here, or I know how to go about this, or like this is something that I'm going to do the next time. What would be like the one, the most important things that you would say going into your next marriage that you want to do?
I think, I've learned that it's been transcending through my life. Even before, marriaging and in my relationships that weren't marriages. I would say the in any situation, the Bible says above all you'll get an understanding.
Alright.
Okay. And a lot of times we're afraid of the truth. Mm. You know, we say for instance in a relationship, you might think she cheating. She might essentially not be cheating, but in your mind, that's what you're thinking. Tyler Perry said, if you think she's doing it, then, hey, to you, she doing it, you know? Yeah. But then if you sit down and you break bread and you communicate,
yeah,
and then you can understand a little bit better, you know? Mm-hmm. And then she can understand you a little bit better by you divulging how you think and how you are. Mm. As a youngster getting into relationships and trying yourself out in life and pressing against the press and trying to do your best every day and coming up short because you have character flaws is what I had during those times. And I still do have some, but I have matured and I have learned from my mistakes. I've learned from others' mistakes. But the most essential thing is getting an understanding.
Yeah.
And I'm not afraid of the truth anymore, you know. Mm-hmm. I pull you out on the carpet, you know. You can run around and give your number to other guys or whatever and think that no one saw that or think that it's not being noticed. But a lot of things I let go.
Straight up.
I let go because to me it's not important. What's important is my relationship. You see what I'm saying? In my marriage, that's what's important. Mm-hmm. But it ain't going to go unspoken about. It's not going to go attended or undirected because we're going to speak about it. We're going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're not like as men, you know, in any relationship, I've been a supervisor. I walk in the building, run the building from open to close. You know what I'm saying? I was assistant manager at Captain D's. I've been a nurse for 18 years. I walk into a building there at first as a new nurse. I was timid. I didn't know what was expected of me. I didn't know exactly what to do. I just finished school. I know how to take care of my patients. I know how to give direction to the CNAs, but then I'm a little bit timid on giving them direction. Mm-hmm. And the CNAs got attitude. Yeah. Snap their fingers, snap their neck, talk back to you, tell you what they is and ain't going to do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh, wait a minute, come here. You know, with respect and dignity. Respect for myself first, always. Mm-hmm. Then respect for them. Mm-hmm. Listen, I ain't trying to be a slave master or anything like that, but these patients here, they can't do anything for themselves. We're here to help them.
Mm-hmm.
And I need you to help me help them. You know what I'm saying? If you see something wrong, let me know. You know, mm-hmm. they got a skin tear. If they got a high blood pressure, don't go down there and write no numbers down. Come back and tell me what it is, because we need to take care of
these people. So everybody can get to understand.
That's right. If I need to call a doctor to get an order for something, let's do it. You see what I'm saying? So communication first. We get an understanding where we stand at and what we're doing and our direction of travel, our goal for the day. Then we're going to take care of it. Mm-hmm. Now, say, for instance, in my marriages, we want to stay married. We don't want to get a divorce.
Straight up.
We didn't get married to get in here to play games. Straight up. You know what I'm saying? And I've been real with both of them. But then the immaturity in when I was married at the age of 20 and at the age of 35.
Yeah.
Now, that person that got married at 20 was the same person, but a different person at the same time as the one that was 35.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you got 15 years of maturity there. I can sit there and I talk to my wife. At first, I was trying to control my wife at the age of 20.
Trust
I was
me.
Like, baby, I know the word. Yeah. You know, I was raised in the word.
I know.
The Bible says a woman should obey her husband as unto God. Dad, go right there. You know, I'm like, no, dude, you don't push nothing you over can't do like that. And, but it's then real. 35, I'm like, you know, I'm going to love my wife. Love do what? Suffers long. Love doesn't boast itself. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is humble. Love is love. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, okay. I'm going to just love. I'm going to do something different than what I did the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I don't want to make my wife my enemy. You know, when you draw you draw that line, talking about you supposed to worship me as unto God. That's drawing the line.
Man, that's
human. Yeah.
Man, y'all listen. When I keep, I'm gonna keep saying the
Glory
free game
God,
now,
man.
Free 99.
Glory
now,
be to God.
This is something you know. I next week, what's today? The 8th. Man, my anniversary is on the 12th. On the 12th,
happy
I will be 9 years. Appreciate it, man. 9 years, man. And so when I got married, when I'm 32, I was 23. My wife was 21, and. You know, over these last 9 years, you know, man, I've learned so much, you know, like you say in the beginning, you know, I was still I'm fresh in marriage for one. I was a fresh father after, you know, we had a child right after we got married the next year. You know, and I was fresh in the word, you know, I came into the knowledge of God, you know, in 2011. So I was fresh and. Man, like you say, bro, I was just, everything had to be my way. It was, you gonna do this, look at the word. And my wife would tell you, you know, she'll definitely tell you. But, you know, over the years, I've just had to learn to take a step back on certain things. Trust my wife and trust that she understands certain things. Trust her knowledge. Trust her wisdom. Yes. And learn to just trust her, period, you know, without always having to have my hands on everything. And that was my problem.
Everything.
That was my problem. Just I want to know everything and have my hands. And it just took my wife and me for her to just tell me straight up one day, just tell me like, bro, you think you know everything. You want to be in control of everything. And, you know, I fought her back on it. But, you know, God really just showed me like, yeah, bro, you really do that.
Yeah.
And now it's like I'm learning. You know, maybe just in the last year and a half, I just learned to just be like, just like, let me take a step back. And some stuff, I ain't even got to say nothing. Even if I feel like I might know, man, bro, take your hands off of that.
And let God handle it.
Man, that's the hard, bro. Literally, I would say probably that's the hardest thing. One of the hardest things in marriage that I've experienced.
You want me to show you something?
Mm-hmm.
You know what's going on in the world right now?
What's that?
That 5G, then the 6G.
Yo.
You know why that is? They want to put cameras everywhere. You know why they want to put cameras everywhere?
They finna do that too.
Yeah. You know why? Because they got to know everything.
Control.
You know where that come from? The spirit of Satanism. Satan got to control everything, got to know everything, got to see everything. Yeah, when we young, we don't understand we're under the influence of the enemy like that.
Straight up.
But as you mature in God, he reveals the scales fall off your eyes and you begin
That's
to
real.
See. And all actuality, the word says, put your trust in no man. So therefore, you put your trust in God, he'll handle it.
Straight up.
He'll handle it.
Straight
now
up.
You become, you conform into the image of Christ. Because he said, Father, I thank you because, you know, I know you hear me always and I hear you. And as the Father he told his disciples, as the Father tell me, so I tell you. And he said, I send you out amongst the enemy. Yeah, that's sheep real. Amongst the wolves.
That's real.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
That's real, man.
So that's where we at. That's who we are. We are the tribe of Judah. All we are kings and queens.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Talk about it.
Yes, sir. So we have to not just talk about it. We got to walk it.
All right.
Yes, sir. We can't act it. This ain't no show. This straight is up. Real deal. And you in your mind, you got to begin to evolve your thinking from like as when we were young, we used the Bible to try to do what? Control our wives. Mm-hmm. When the slave master and the enemy do what? Use the Bible to control our wives by taking out certain books that reveal who we really are in real life. So therefore, we don't know who we are. But as you mature in God, God himself, you don't even need the apothecary to tell you who you are because your relationship with the Father in your mind. Because Jesus is what? The king of all kings. Straight and who is the other kings?
Straight up.
We are the other kings.
All right.
You heard me?
That's real.
He said, didn't I say to you that ye are little gods?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? You are God too. You speak things into manifestation, into life. Because before you had this, I'm sure you said, I'm going to do this.
All right.
Okay straight then. Up. So therefore, we speak things and we walk into it as we believe it. You know,
straight up.
Because if we go to God, we pray and we ask for things and it don't happen. Why? Because we ask amiss that we make assume it amongst our lusts. But as men believe it in our heart and we expect it, we ask God with a spirit of expectation and we're looking at for it and we're walking it and we're talking it. It comes to us.
That's real.
It manifests.
That's real.
It manifests in the flesh. So therefore, we are who we say we are. We are kings. 400 years of slavery is over, and we on our way. We on top.
That's real.
We on top. You just got to change this right here, the way you think, the way you see yourself. That's what you got to pour into your kids. Mm-hmm. You got a king and queens right there. Okay. You got to get them right now at straight the up. Age of 5, 4, 5, and 7, 8.
Straight
to
up.
See themselves as king and queens and treat themselves as king and queens so they won't settle for less.
That's real.
So they
that's real.
So they when they grow up, they be like, man, I can't not go to college. I got to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
I got to get this education because I want this business.
Mm-hmm.
And they speaking that business into existence. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
They go that queen. They go that king doing what he said that she is going to do.
That's real, man. That's so real.
That's who we are.
That's real. Hey, when y'all on y'all own time, man, we ain't going to go too deep in it. On y'all own time, man. Go and research, man. People ain't gonna tell you this type of stuff. The church don't talk about it enough. Go and research the true biblical Israelites. Go and research for yourself. We ain't got to spell everything out for you sometimes. Sometimes you need to go do your own research. But yeah, y'all go look at that. I done already talked about it on the podcast before, but shout out to my boy Julius, man. My boy Julius Irvin, man. Go back and look at that. Listen to that episode. But I want to ask you about this, man. What was the reaction, your first reaction when you found out you were about to have your first child?
Shut your mouth. I done told you, man. That's not a good question, but it's a great question. Not a good question for me, but I'm transparent. I'm going to always be transparent. Tomorrow is Monday is May 10th. It's my eldest son's birthday. I lost him at the age of 24 in 2016, April 7, 2016. My world changed.
Yeah.
that was my junior. That was my clone.
Yeah,
but he was better than me. He was more of a man I could ever be, man. He was a classy fella. He sang better than John Legend.
Yeah, okay.
I'm telling you, he was a model. Jay Malicio, Jamel, Daquan, Dell. When I first found out that he was on his way to this world, his mother was pregnant. I found out a month later that I had another one coming.
Yeah.
That's why I said that was a great question, but not a good question for me. Ooh-wee. But what? Honestly and truly, yeah. Because of the way God raised me, the way I was raised, my perception on life, the game stopped.
Yeah.
The game stopped. The street playing stopped. Man, it's like I got serious about life because, mm-hmm. like I said earlier, when I have kids, I was going to be a better father mm-hmm. to my kids than my dad was to me. I got up. I went to school to Institute of Security Technology down in Miami. I was getting unemployment, and I was trying to figure out how I was going to make it. How mm-hmm. I'm going to take care of two kids. Man, from that day to this day, it ain't been many days I hadn't worked. Mm-hmm. I was excited, but I was serious. I was so serious. And even to this day, there isn't one of my kids that I do not love more than me that I wouldn't die for, mm-hmm. you know? And I mean that. I mean that I wouldn't kill for like a mother, you know? A mother, mm-hmm. boy, that child don't never do no wrong. I don't care how bad they are, serial killer or not. But I beat up for my kids. I had a back. I will correct them myself. I got up. I got a job. I went to school. When I was in school, I worked at Burger King down in Miami. I left Miami. I came back to Gainesville, and I decided I was gonna be with one of the mothers. And she and I, we got together. We moved from Stark to Gainesville. I got a job as a cook first of all at Captain D's, and then I got a job at from Stark. Transferred to Gainesville as assistant manager to Captain D's on Archer Road. Hmm. And boy, you couldn't tell me nothing then. I was running things then. I haven't got a house or apartment for him.
Yeah.
Man, me, my lady, and his mother. And man, I was excited and turn around. A year later, I had my daughter coming. I'm like, oh man, I got three kids right now. So I never missed a child support day for my oldest son. Never did. Hmm. God blessed me in that where I could see him. I could spend time with him. But I never spent enough time with him, especially now that he died at the age of 24, you know. I never spent enough time with him. Even after he got older, he would come over to my house. We would wash clothes together. We'd cook dinner together. We'd sleep together. He'd be in the bed. I'd be in the bed. We'd be sitting there talking. And be like, Dad, I ain't know you like this. I ain't know you like smell good stuff. You know, like the fresh things that you put in your dryer and stuff. The little beads or whatever. I can't remember right now. Downy stuff.
The good old beads, man.
Man, I'm trying to tell you why. and he was like, Dad, he looked around in the house. He said, you clean, Dad? I'm like, yeah, son. He said, I am too, you know.
Yeah.
He liked candles and stuff. And I really love spending time with my son. And when we spent time together, that's what we did. We cooked and ate. We did laundry together, just like a family, you know.
Straight up.
Yeah, man.
Really built, man.
Yeah.
Wow, man. You know, That's the stuff that, you know, I just be praying, you know, asking the Lord to just really prepare me for anything, you know, because you just never know. You know, I think at times we take life for granted. You know, we just think, oh, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and we're going to do this. Or next week, I'm going to go do this with my family. And next year. And it's like, I mean, yeah, it's all right to say that stuff. But, man, we just never know. It's like you never know and you can't. You can't go through life with the expectation that I'm going to be here tomorrow. Like, you just literally don't know, bro. And it's like, so every day, man, we got to cherish. I mean, we got to literally cherish every day like it's our last.
True that. Yeah, tomorrow isn't promised to no one, man.
At all.
You know, my word is always live to the glory of God. Not that I always do it, but that's the word, baby.
Straight up.
You got to give him glory for the good and the bad. He's saying all your ways, not just your good ways, acknowledge him, but your good and bad ways. Man, you, we together, we finna go rob a bank. You better pray. You better acknowledge him. You know, because we ain't got to walk out of there. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
We might come out there with 20 years. And you know what I'm saying?
All right.
Should have been dead, but we got 20 years.
All right.
Probably, you know, hey, you never know.
Never know, man.
Never know. Man. You can cash out at any given time.
That's real. Man, how was that? How was the healing process, you know? After, you know, I just, and I ask these type of questions because I just like to know people's mental processes, because it's like I know how I felt seeing my children come in the world, but I'm like, I don't know what it would be like to see my child leave the world. So it's like, how is the mental process of that, like, actually processing the fact that, okay, I just lost a child?
It was surreal. It was very surreal. It's like, you know it's happening. You don't want it to happen. It's out of your control. You know. You numb. I was numb. A lot of people deal with grief in different ways, but I was numb. I was numb for about 3 years. Mm-hmm. I say about 3 years. And I went to work after being going through that for about maybe 5 days. I think I took 5 days off. I went back to work. You know, when Michael Jordan lost his dad, people didn't understand why he had to continue to play. The reason why you continue to play, because that's your escape. That's where you perform at. Your mind ain't on your problems at that time. You focus and concentrate on other things that keep you from hurting, that keep you from feeling that pain, feeling that numbness. And, bruh, I'm telling you, that was my escape. But I dealt with it every day. Every day. Before I hit that clock, when I opened my eyes, till I hit that clock to get to start work. And throughout that day, you have some relapses and you just like want to break down. But because of your job, because of basketball, it pushes you on through. Yeah, that's your medicine, you know. that's your winch that's pulling you through on the other side of the tunnel. That's your little vacation in your mind, because in my mind at that time, I was literally a zombie. You know, I could function because naturally I know what to do for my patients. But for me, oh man, it was very numb and surreal that, you know, like I said, you don't believe it's happening. You know it's happening. And even just the other day, I thought about my son. I think about him every day. And I was like, Jamel, I just can't believe you're gone. Look at his picture. I'm like, man, I want to see my son. My son gone. Mm. And I moved from Gainesville back to Star. And I could see my son out the corner of my eye. He's walking out, and I'm walking into Walmart. I'm like, Mel.
Yeah.
I could tell just like that. Mel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. So I hit him. He'd be like, Dad. He'd turn around and come to me or run to me, and I'd run him. And we greet each other like we never seen each other. Hug real tight. Oh, my son, give you a hug so tight, man. Be about to take your breath from him, man. I promise you, man.
Yeah.
He was all love. Yeah, he was all love, exuding love. He was everything I could not be. Hmm. He really was, man. He was a people person. Everybody loved my son. He was valedictorian out at Santa Fe.
Damn.
Yeah, he was bad.
Okay.
Yeah, he was bad.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, they had his picture on the wall.
Okay.
Yeah. And that I was in the RN program in 2012. And when I went through that and I saw my son picture up there, boy, you know, chest got stuck out there. The head was straight. I'm like, boy, that's my man right there. I'm trying to tell you, boy.
Yeah.
So, you know, it take memories like that to put to bring you through, you know. It take, like from him being a child, you know, me riding him on my bike in my lap, you know, like this right here on the bike, you know, sitting on the crossbar and stuff, you know. We just riding through the neighborhood. When you spend time alone, those precious times, those precious moments that you'll never get back, you'll never be able to talk about or share. A prime example is my baby son, Jose Jr. He grew up in South Carolina, but I had about 5 years to raise him, too. I raised all my kids except my oldest son and my baby daughter. I had some time where we had one-on-one time where they were in my house. Where they slept under my roof and I fed them, I worked and fed and clothed them. So that to me, that means a lot to me because I ain't never got there with my dad, but maybe a summer or two up until when I was 9, and that was it. So, yeah, it means everything. It means everything to be able to recall those things during those times of bereavement. And there is no limit to grief. There's no limit to how long you're going to grieve. I want to say in 1983 or 84, I lost my favorite auntie, my Aunt Minnie. And her birthday was the 5th of March, my birthday, the 2nd of March. And that was going to be my wife. You heard me. She was beautiful, man. She worked hard, man.
Yeah.
But she helped develop me. She put some things in me. And, I still think about her, and I have a little grief with that. So, and that was back then. So this right here with my son, that I never really die, but time is what when the Bible said time heals all wounds, it's really close. It will do it eventually, I'm sure, because that's who God is. His word is true, you know, I don't doubt that, you know. So. I haven't gotten there yet, but I look forward to that day, you know, where and then you don't look forward to it because you don't want to forget about your loved ones that has passed, you
know. That's real. Man, one of my favorite movies, man, a movie called Courageous. I haven't watched it in years, man, but during the movie, one of the dads lost a daughter. She maybe was like 8, 9, 10 years old, something like that, man. And man, bro, just watching that movie, man, it always just kind of, man, every time I think about it. And in the movie, he was him and his wife, they were going through therapy, and I think either him or the therapist said something like, I think it was the therapist, they were like, this is something you will never get over. It'll never become normal.
But you'll learn how to live.
Mm-hmm. You will learn how to live with it.
Yeah.
It'll never go away. You just learn to live with it. And I remember ever since, I think at that time, I think Azriel was just born. This movie came out like 2013. And,
yeah.
That one line in that movie had always stuck with me.
Yeah.
And to see them go on, because they had another child. And I remember the dad used to go back to the daughter's room.
Right.
And just sit in there and just soak, man. And one day, they still had an older son. I think he was like high school. And I remember the mom had to come in the room one time, and she said she had to just tell him, like, you still have another child.
Yeah.
You still have, and he didn't have a good relationship with his son, with his older son. Like, son used to always want him to run with him and all this stuff. And she just had to, like, tell him one day, like, your other child need, like, we need you.
From that point,
you've probably seen that movie. From that point on, he just got up and was like, man, you know what? I'm going to make every day now, I'm going to make a real commitment to my family. Because the thing that had really killed him was the fact that he wanted his daughter maybe a week before she died, she wanted to dance with him.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Oh, I'm good. I don't."
Yeah.
And man, just so happened, I think the next day or something, or next week, she ended up losing her life. And that was the thing that killed him. He was just like, "I should have danced with him. I should." And she, he just, and I'm like, "Dang, bro, that thing right there,
bro,
man."
I'm 53. Life is full of I shoulda, coulda, woulda. You heard me. Mm-hmm. But as you talk about courageous, I'm reminded of through the Spirit about David and Bathsheba.
Hmm.
When he wanted Bathsheba, he put Uriah on the front line and wanted to draw him back and get him killed. Yeah. And actually, that's what happened. And they had a son. David and Bathsheba had a son.
Hmm.
And God told him through the prophet that son is going to die. All right. And David cried.
Mm-hmm.
And he wept when she had the son and he died. And he cried. But I think it was 3 days he cried.
Yeah.
And he got up because you can't stay there, you know.
Can't.
You got to get up. And you got to live. And that's what we have to do. When we go through those things, we have to. Sooner or later, one point in time or another, you're going to have to get up and you got to live. Mm-hmm. And you got other people to live for. In fact, you got that child to live for that didn't make it here. So the rest of your life is dedicated to that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my son, he said, "Dad, I want to go to all the states. In the states, all 48 states. And for the last 6 months, I've been a truck driver. I've been to most of the states. And all I do is think about him when I see a welcome to Idaho, welcome to North Carolina, welcome to California, or wherever. That's all I think about is him. And, you know, I want to get out and take pictures and post them on Facebook and say I did this for my son. But as long as he knows, you know, he sees.
That's real.
And he knows what's in my heart now, you know. So, in a way, my life is dedicated to him now.
That's real, man. That's so real, man. I just want to say to all the other dads out there, man, whoever might be listening to this, man, you know, cherish every moment, man. You know, be attentive of. I just heard something yesterday, man, and the person was saying, I was looking at a documentary from Lecrae, and he said, being home with your children, he was basically in so many ways saying, you know, just being physically in the house with the children, that doesn't mean that means you're just physically there. But be home, like actually be home. So like actually be doing certain things. Have conversations with your children, you know, help them with the homework. Go ride the bike with them. Go do like create these memories with them. You know, actually be attentive in your home because you just never know. And what he said something that always stick with me. He said, the world can get another rapper. Because Lecrae is a rapper. He said, the world can get another rapper, but my kids cannot get another dad. I was like, man, here it go. You know, I was crying like a mug. You know, everything he was saying was just so true, man. It was just so true and just so powerful. And I'm just like, man, you know, every day, you know, we got to really count every day as a blessing. As it is, you know, it's literally a blessing to be living like today, to be... Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that it keep me focused because, you know, my kids at times, you know, get on my nerves. They make me mad and they do this and they do that. And sometimes listening to stuff like that always get my focus back. Like, boy, you know, you will be the first person around. Won't even know how to, what? Prime example, when my babies had to go to Chicago for them months.
Yes,
man, I was crying every day.
Yes,
you know, like I had really lost my family.
That's a good thing.
Really
that's a
lost
good experience to have had so that you could appreciate today. And it's a reason why it's called not tomorrow, not yesterday, but the present.
Mm-hmm.
The present is a present.
That's
and
real.
You have to stay present in the present to appreciate the present.
That's real.
Yeah, so.
That's so real, man.
Yeah, so.
Man.
And guess what? You can't get another child either.
All right. Yes, can't, sir. Bro.
And they can't get another dad. You can't get another child. So as much as it lies within you, you should invest into your kids. Don't spend time with them. Invest into them, you know. Azrael just turned 8. You want to start talking to her about money. Oh, yeah, money answers all things. Teach her not to love it, but it answers all things.
Mm-hmm.
My dad taught me that.
That's real.
Yes, sir. Elder Jacob D. James taught me that.
That's right. Hey, y'all, that's the word, now. That's the word.
Yes.
Listen, man. Yeah, boy, you that dope, boy. Man. Whew. Man, how is grandfatherhood for you, man?
Oh, man, I'm so excited. Talk about that, man. I love that, man. When I leave here, I'm going to get my grandkids.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I'm going to have them for the weekend and then roll out on Monday or Tuesday, man.
Okay.
But, yeah, they call me Papa, and I just kids are a joy, man. Mm-hmm. Kids are a joy, and they say the darnest things. They are so curious. They just they don't know, you know. They don't know how, when they stepping on your toes or nothing like that. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be a mentally challenged kid over there, and they be like, "What's wrong with him?" You know. He's probably grown, but they're looking them in the eyes and so forth, you know. They don't know, but that's our job to teach them. They are so innocent, and that's what we do. They're sponges, and I just love it, man. I enjoy it. I really do.
That's real.
Yes, sir. Matter of fact, they give me energy.
Yeah.
Get old man energy, you know. Yes, sir.
That's real, man. We rolling down today. What is one aspect of your parenting currently, man, that you say that you want to work on? If it was just one thing that you just want to get better on today, you know, in your aspect and in your parenting, what would that one thing be?
Well, all my kids are grown. My parenting is over.
Yeah.
It's over. But they still my kids.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm an inspirer. I'm a Barnabas spirit, you know. I like to encourage people. I admire you and your older brother. You're buying your homes right now. You're 32.
Mm-hmm.
He's
33, 34. Ron? I'm 32. Ron finna turn 35 next month.
Okay. Yeah. So my daughter, who's calling me now, she is 28, and she just bought herself a K5 2021.
Okay.
She balling, you know.
Yeah.
She finna go to pharmacy tech school, and her job is gonna pay for it for her.
Dang.
So I always promote education. She's like, "Dad, they want me to go to pharmacy tech school, but I don't know if I want to do it because it's probably gonna be paying the same money." I said, "Baby doll, how you gonna go to college because you got two kids and you got bills and stuff?" She said, "Dad, they gonna pay for my college and they gonna give me my paycheck that I make every 2 weeks." I'm like, "Man, that's a blessing, right?"
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then she said, "But I don't know if I want to do it because I'll be getting paid the same amount of money." I said, "Baby, yes. Right now, you've been at the University of Florida for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So check out at as a pharmacy tech how much you'll be getting at 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, that's just education. That's another feather in your cap. Get all you can get and leave nothing out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you never know how God is going to bless you. He already blessed you to be able to take the class, get your regular paycheck, and not owe anything when you're done." So, yeah, let's do that. So, yeah, I want to inspire and educate not just her, all my kids to do well. You know, Jose Jr. just got out the Air Force.
Okay.
I just come from up there seeing him in Milledgeville, Georgia, inspiring him, giving him some avenues and things like that. I want to grow as a parent in educating and preparing my young men and women for the rest of their lives. So when I'm gone, they know how to raise their kids, you know. A good man don't only do what? Leave an inheritance for his kids, but for his kids' kids.
Yeah.
And that's where I am, you know.
Real.
That's my mindset. That's my parenting for the rest of my life. I got a good 10, 20, however the Lord will for me to live. You know, mm-hmm. it could be 10, 20 minutes too, you know, or seconds. You never know. I'm in His hands.
Yeah.
Whatever He want to do is well with me. It's well straight with my up. Soul, you know. But as far as He let me live, I want to inspire. I want to inspire and encourage, you know. That's all I want to do. You know, I want to provide a way for my grandkids. I want to leave an inheritance for them. That's my goal.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
That's real, man.
Yes, sir.
That's something that I think we can all do more of, man. You know, our kids need us, especially for us black dads, man. You know, we ain't nobody else going to love our children the way that we love them, especially in our society, you know. It's so imperative for us to teach our children who they are, encourage them, educate them, love them, and let them know that, you know, they are worthy, you know, teaching our children just how worthy they are. Because I think it's like the world, I mean, I just look at where the world is and where it's been, honestly, you know. The world ain't never loved us. You know, they ain't. And honestly, I mean, if you look at it biblically, you know, Israel was always in that place. You know, Israel they were fatherless. And that's why He said, I am a father to the fatherless. You know, we were always, right. You know, fatherless, you know.
Yes,
and, but that's why he chose us. That's why, you know, He said that I will be your father. You know, I'm going to be that for y'all. I'm yes, going to give you this. I'm yes, going to make sure you good. I'm going to make sure you eat.
And to make it applicable to this day and to this time, when the love of the mother and father, when your mother and father forsake you, He will take you up. And that's
so
applicable
real,
right now, because you got a lot of mothers and fathers that's killing their kids, that's leaving their kids, putting their kids up in foster homes and stuff. And you're doing the dirt to get them, but you don't want to do the dirt to keep them. You know, the love of the fathers and mothers is really dying young. There's a great falling away in the church, in the spiritual church of God, period. So therefore, we have to stay anchored and rooted, not just in going to church and in trying to impress anyone, but to stay anchored and rooted in His word. That's
so
what
real.
Brought you. That's what draws you. Through love and kindness have He drawn thee.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's going to keep you.
Straight
you
up.
Know, you don't have to go to church. You don't have to knock the doors down.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to have a church
straight
in
up.
Your heart. You got to have that word in your heart.
Straight
and
up.
As you have that word in your heart, then you would love one another as thyself. You see what I'm saying? The first commandment is to have no other God before Him.
Mm-hmm.
God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then the second one is second unto it. And He says it is like unto it. Which means that you can't love Him unless you love one another.
Straight up. It's impossible. Straight up. And He said, if you say you do, you a lie. Straight up.
Yeah.
That's real, man.
Yeah.
Man, listen. Man, this has just been a blessing for me, man. You know, I always tell people when it comes to this podcast, you know, this time for me is so important, you know, because at times I really don't get a lot of time away from my children and time away from my family. I'm always with my kids, always with my wife. And this right here is therapy for me. You know, it's just, it's always good to hear another man's perspective, to hear another man's story, to hear where someone else has been. And this is my time for me to get my strengthening. So when I leave out of here, I can go back home and appreciate my wife, appreciate my children, man, and love them. This is like, it's just always a good thing for me to really be able to have this fellowship, man. And man, it's been good for me to really sit down and talk with you, man. You know, because like I said, I need this, bro. Like,
yes,
I truly,
yes,
I need it. Like, I don't care what nobody say, man. I need to be able to talk with another man. I need this. Like,
yep.
And as much as people might say, oh, I don't need nobody, I don't need this. Man, men, listen, we have to talk with one another. That's why the name of this is Dad Can We Talk, literally, because I realize that we don't talk to each other enough. We don't uplift each other enough. We don't give each other what we need enough. And we need times like this. We need, you know, time away from everything. We need to be able to come together, man.
That's
and
right.
really be able to have this type of fellowship. It's so, so important, man. But
yeah. Yeah, lay that pride aside. Lay
real.
That ego aside. Lay what you think somebody else would think about you aside.
That's
and just
real.
Be transparent. Be real.
That's
and,
real.
And in other words, love thyself first, because you can't love nobody else till you love yourself.
Crazy.
That's the problem with the world. They try to impress people they don't even know.
Straight up.
You know, and they don't even know themselves. They haven't taken out time to find out who they are. They run in the hustle bustle, trying to get this here bag, trying to clock this, trying to clock that. I got to get a house, got to get a car, you know. Yeah, you got to get those things.
Mm-hmm.
But know thyself first.
Yep. Straight up.
Like
man.
Shakespeare said, to thyself be true.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once you be true with yourself, you can be true with the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's
teach
real.
Your kids that they know how to be, you know.
That's
I
real.
Didn't have that in my life. I had character flaws. Why? Because I didn't have no one to idolize, no one to idealize, no
mm-hmm.
character that I could, a mentor in my
mm-hmm.
life. So God gave me other mentors and gave me him, you know.
That's real.
And then I began to, at first, when I first got saved, I was so serious. People
mm-hmm.
dying and going to hell. I need to get out here and save some souls.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
For real.
But then how am I going to do that without a personality? Because I need to be able to relate to these people.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Now, I thank God. No. Boy, he put me through the ringer, boy. Now I got a little bit of personality. Right. You know,
tell
I can
me
relate
about
to
it.
Some people. Yeah.
That's real, man.
But love is where it's at. Cashed out, Prince. Prince changed his name to a sign. It's a
mm-hmm.
love symbol. Without love, we can't do nothing, man.
Hmm.
Without love, we got to do it in love, out of love, and through love.
Mm-hmm. Straight up, man.
That's the word. That's where we at. That's who
real.
We be.
That's real, man. Hey, I just want to encourage you, man. Keep doing what you're doing, man. You know.
No, man. I want to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, straight up.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man.
I got my ocular on you, baby.
Yeah.
Hey, yes, sir.
That's real, man.
Yes, sir.
You know, and man.
Glory be to God.
I'm thankful for you, man. You know, I ain't gonna front. You know, at first, when I was kind of mad with my mom, man. You know, because I knew she was talking to you, honestly. And I felt like I knew Amp had knew what was up, because they hadn't told me.
Yeah.
But it was just like, dang, like, why? You know, and I just kept my mouth shut. But, you know, I was kind of skeptical, you know, but I thank God, you know, that I will say this, man, I feel like you good for my mom, man, you know. I've seen a difference in her over the years. You know, I think she needed a man that would lead her. And I would say that I think you're doing a good job with leading her and really helping her to understand a lot of different things spiritually. I've been seeing how she's been seeking, man. And I'm just proud of her. And, you know, I just want to thank you, man, for just being done loving her, man. You know, I've said it for a long time. You know, I feel like my mom really, I don't think nobody ever loved my mom properly, like really gave her that real love that she need, you know. And you know, I think that's why, you know, for me, my brothers, you know, Ron, Elk, you know, we just always try to continue to love on moms, man, you know. But I'm glad, you know, she got a man that's coming to her life that really I believe that you really care about, not just her but her soul, man. And you know, and
yeah, that's
man,
the most important
real
thing.
Talk, bro. Like, I feel good, you know, as well with my soul to know that you're with my mom, and I appreciate it, bro.
Yes,
real
sir.
Talk,
yes,
real
sir.
Talk, man.
I appreciate that, bro. I'm telling
real
you,
talk.
Man. Yeah, so.
Real talk, man. You know, so just wanted to definitely convey that to you, man. And let you know, keep
that.
Doing what you're doing, man.
I appreciate your transparency on that. It means a lot to me, man.
Yeah.
You know, though you ain't my number one. Ron, my number
yeah.
one. You know, I knew Ron before I knew your mom. Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Ron always
yeah.
been real.
Yeah.
You know, He been straight up.
Shout out to my boy Kid Ray, my dog. Yeah. Hey, boy, we finna turn up next week. Yeah.
Yeah, for his
B-Day. Yeah, for the housewarming, man. Yeah, yeah, man, so, we're gonna turn up with my boy, so, man, for real. Yeah,
next month.
Next week. Yeah, next week. Yeah, boy, it's on, boy.
Yeah.
It's on, man. We finna turn up for for my dog, man. Yeah. You know, shout out to my boy Peasy. Yeah. Shout out to Mama Vicky.
Yeah,
man. Definitely love the film, man. It's like I say, man.
It's hot, it was good. Man. I admire you guys, man. Y'all doing big things, you know.
Straight up.
Yes, sir. Like young men should be doing, you know.
That's real.
Yes, sir.
That's real, man. But man. So we gonna end it on that note, man. We gave y'all enough of these gems, man. A lot of this good old Free 99 gems. But y'all continue to stay up, man. Like I say, you know, y'all continue to stay tuned to the podcast, man. I appreciate all my supporters out there, man. Y'all don't know how much this it means to me to have the support that I do, man. So much support in the community, man. Community and abroad, you know, I got a lot of people that support me from other cities, from other states, man. So I appreciate all my listeners out there. I did get a word on the shirts yesterday. The new shirts will be in, they should be here by the 17th. So, man, I got some new shirts coming, man. So I'll be able to start sending these shirts out, man. And, we gonna get it popping. Y'all stay tuned for the 21st of this month. I'll be having my first live event at Swamp City Gallery. So, I got an hour block from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. that Friday night, man. And we gonna sit down. We gonna chop it up, man. We gonna chop it up about life. You know, y'all know how I do it. You know,
congratulations on that.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it, man. So, we gonna sit down. We gonna chop it up. Y'all know that's all I'd be liking to do, man. I just want to inspire some people, man, and let my people know that, man, we are great. We are worth something, man. These black men, these black women, man, we are worthy. You
kings
know,
and queens,
care what man. Nobody else say,
kings
man.
Kings and queens,
and that's what we gonna be, man. So yeah, y'all be looking forward to put it in your calendar, man. May 21st at Swamp City
Change
Gallery.
Your mindset.
Yeah, man. So y'all stay tuned for that. I'm in the planning stages of another live event for next month. Y'all stay tuned on that. I ain't got the details quite yet, but it's in the planning for June 26th. I'm trying to get together some men and some women. We gonna have a real talk. You know, women, we need to talk with y'all about a couple things. You know, so. Yeah, y'all stay tuned. I got this event in the planning, so I need to make that flyer today, actually.
Boy, you blowing up.
Yeah, man. Trying to start these important conversations that we need to be having with one another, man. So, yeah, y'all stay tuned for that. It's about to get real. It's about to get very, very, very real. So, y'all just stay tuned. Y'all continue to support, man, and yeah, man, we out of here, man. It's Dad Can We Talk. Appreciate you, big homie.
Mm.
We out of here, y'all. Dad Can We Talk. Bang, bang.